All right. Welcome back to Cyber Mornings Daily, everyone. Glad to have you with us again for another deep dive.
Yeah, definitely.
Into the wild world of cybersecurity.
Always something going on.
Always something going on.
Yeah.
And we got three pretty interesting stories lined up for you today.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. So our first story is going to take us into the world of software development.
Okay.
And specifically, something called GitHub Actions.
Right.
So this one involves an attack that was targeted at Coinbase. You know, Coinbase, the big cryptocurrency exchange.
Sure.
So it involved this thing called GitHub Actions, which, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but basically it's this platform that allows developers to kind of automate a lot of their workflows.
Yeah.
Right. So they can automatically build, test, and deploy software.
It makes things a lot easier.
Yeah. So it's kind of like this really, really useful tool for developers to kind of streamline their processes and and do things a lot more efficiently.
Yeah, for sure.
But as with any tool, you know, it could be used for good and it could be used for bad.
Absolutely. A hammer can build a house or break a window.
Exactly right. Exactly right. So in this case, what happened was some malicious code was injected into a GitHub action called Review.g Action Setup at V1.
Okay.
Now, how that initial breach happened is still a little bit of a mystery.
Yeah, that always makes you a little nervous, right? When you don't know how they got in the first place.
Yeah, it's a little unsettling. So how did they get the keys to the car, you know?
Right, right.
But once this action was compromised, what it started doing was dumping a bunch of sensitive information into the GitHub Actions logs.
Okay.
So things like CI/CD secrets and authentication tokens.
Right.
And so these secrets, you know, it's like they're the keys to the kingdom. Mm. They allow automated processes to kind of access different systems.
Yeah, without needing a human to go in and do it every time.
Exactly.
Exactly.
It's all supposed to be very efficient.
Right. So imagine if you left those keys just out in the open.
Right. Not good.
Yeah.
Not good. So what made this even more complicated was that another GitHub action, TJ Actions, lint changed files.
Okay.
Invoked the compromised Review.g action.
Uh-huh.
And so because it did that, it inadvertently leaked its own secrets as well.
Right.
So now you've got kind of this chain reaction happening where...
Yeah, one leak leads to another.
Exactly.
And it just kind of spreads out from there.
Exactly. But the attackers weren't done there.
Of course not.
They then used a stolen personal access token. So think of this like an individual security pass for a developer.
Gotcha.
They used this to push a malicious commit into another widely used action called TJ Actions Changed Files.
Okay.
And the goal here was the same, to get more CI/CD secrets from workflow logs.
Right.
But here's where it gets really interesting. This malicious code wasn't just grabbing anything it could find.
Mm-hmm.
It was specifically designed to look for and target projects that belong to Coinbase.
Wow. So it was very targeted.
Very targeted.
Okay.
And an account that was controlled by the attackers. So it seems like from the get-go, they had their sights set on Coinbase.
Yeah.
And one of the Coinbase projects that uses this change files action is a repository called Coinbase Agent Kit.
Okay.
And I don't know if you're familiar with this, but this is like a framework for AI agents that can interact with blockchains.
Interesting. So it's kind of on the cutting edge there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So by compromising this change files action within Coinbase's workflow, they had the potential to steal tokens that had write access to the repository.
Right.
Now, write access, that's the ability to make changes.
Yeah, so they could potentially change code or take over parts of Coinbase's system.
Exactly, exactly. And the timeline here is really interesting, too.
Yeah, okay.
So the attacker reportedly obtained a GitHub token with these write permissions to this Coinbase Agent Kit repository on March 14th at 15.10 UTC.
All right.
So that was just a couple of hours before this broader attack against the TJ Actions Change Files action kicked off.
So they moved really quickly once they got that initial access.
Yeah.
That's a sign of a well-planned attack.
Very well-coordinated, yep. Now, the good news is that Coinbase has said that the attack was ultimately unsuccessful.
Okay.
And it didn't actually impact any of their assets.
That's a relief.
Yeah.
It sounds like their security defenses were up to the challenge.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good news. And while this change files action was used by over 23,000 different projects.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, It seems like only 218 repositories were actually confirmed to be impacted.
So the damage was relatively limited.
Yeah, thankfully.
That's good news.
Yeah, it was. So again, it seems like they were really focused on Coinbase.
Yeah.
And when that didn't work out the way they had hoped,
right,
the broader impact was somewhat contained.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So the story really highlights the risks of these supply chain attacks in software development.
Yeah.
You know, you trust these widely used components, but if one of them gets compromised, it can have this domino effect.
Yeah, it's like that whole bad apple spoils the bunch thing.
Yeah,
exactly. And this really underscores the need for vigilance, you know, not just in the code we write, but also in the code we rely on from others.
Absolutely.
Maturity really has to be a shared responsibility across the entire software development world.
Okay, so let's move on to our second story.
Right.
Which takes us from coding into the world of cryptocurrency regulation.
Oh, this should be interesting.
Yeah, so this is about Tornado Cash.
Okay.
Now, are you familiar with Tornado Cash at all?
Yeah, I know a little bit about it. It's a cryptocurrency mixer, right?
Yeah, it's a cryptocurrency mixer.
So it's designed to kind of obscure the origins of cryptocurrency transactions.
Exactly. Makes it harder to trace where funds are coming from and going to.
Right, it's all about privacy.
Yeah, it's like a big digital blender for your cryptocurrency.
I like that analogy.
And the big news here is that the U.S. Department of the Treasury has decided to lift the sanctions that were previously imposed on Tornado Cash.
Oh, wow. That's a big development.
It is. So to give you a little background, the Treasury initially sanctioned Tornado Cash back in August of 2022.
Right.
And their reasoning was that it had been used to launder over $7 billion in cryptocurrency since 2019.
That's a staggering amount.
Yeah, a lot of money.
Wow.
And one of the key reasons they took action was the alleged use of Tornado Cash by the North Korean Lazarus Hacking Group.
Right. They're notorious.
Yeah. They're not exactly known for playing by the rules.
No, not at all.
So the Treasury's Office of Foreign Assets Control, OFAC,
yeah,
specifically said that Lazarus used Tornado Cash to launder about $455 million of the $620 million that was stolen from Axie Infinity's Ronin network back in April of 2022.
Right. That was a huge hack.
Massive hack.
Yeah.
So you know, they're saying that they used this platform to clean a significant portion of the stolen funds.
That definitely put Tornado Cash in their radar.
Big time. And it wasn't just that one hack either.
Right.
It was reportedly used to launder money from other big crypto heists.
Like which ones?
Like the Nomad heist.
Okay.
And the Harmony Bridge hack.
Right, right.
And cyber criminals also allegedly used it to launder proceeds from attacks on a bunch of different platforms.
So it seems like Tornado Cash had become a go-to tool for cyber criminals.
Yeah, it definitely developed a bit of a reputation.
Makes sense.
So given all of that, what made the Treasury change their mind and lift these sanctions?
Well, the main reason was a recent ruling by the Fifth Circuit U.S. Federal Appeals Court.
Okay.
This was back in November of 2024.
Gotcha.
And basically, the court said that OFAC had overstepped its authority when it sanctioned the crypto mixer itself.
Interesting.
Yeah, they argued that OFAC had gone too far by targeting a technology instead of specific individuals or entities.
So it wasn't about whether Tornado Cash was being used for illicit activities.
Right.
It was more about whether they had the legal right to sanction the technology itself.
Exactly. They were challenging the legal basis of the sanctions.
Gotcha. So the Treasury Department, they made it clear in their announcement that they're still concerned about North Korea's hacking and money laundering activities.
Sure.
But they also said they respect the court's ruling.
Okay.
So it seems like their commitment to cracking down on illicit use of cryptocurrency, that hasn't changed.
Yeah.
But they're also having to navigate these legal challenges.
It's a complex landscape.
Absolutely. And it's interesting because even though the sanctions on Tornado Cash have been lifted, the legal actions against the individuals who created and ran it are still going on.
So they're going after the people, not the technology itself.
Exactly. It's kind of like going after the bank robbers.
Yeah.
But not shutting down the bank.
Right. Because the bank itself wasn't necessarily doing anything wrong.
Yeah, exactly. So it highlights the challenges of regulating these decentralized technologies, you know.
Right.
You can try to hold individuals accountable, but how do you control the code itself when anyone can run it?
Yeah, that's a tough question.
It's a big question for regulators around the world.
Absolutely.
Okay, our last story today is about a critical vulnerability that was found in a pretty popular piece of software called Veeam Backup and Replication.
Veeam, yeah. A lot of organizations use that.
Yeah, it's a really widely used solution for backing up and restoring data.
Makes sense.
And this is really important, right? Because if something goes wrong,
right,
you need to be able to recover your data.
Absolutely. Backups are crucial.
Yeah. So this vulnerability, it's tracked as CVE-2025-23120.
Okay.
And it's what's known as a remote code execution flaw, or an RCE.
And that's a big deal, right? Because it means an attacker could run their own code on a vulnerable system from anywhere.
Exactly. They don't need physical access.
And this affects specific versions of Veeam, right?
Yeah. It affects domain joint installations of version 12.3, but 3.3.310, and all earlier version 12 builds.
So a pretty wide range of systems, potentially.
Yeah. It's a significant number of systems that could be affected.
So Veeam has released a patch, right?
Yes, they have. They released a patch in version 12.3.1.
Okay. So the message is clear. Update your software.
Absolutely. If you're using an older version, update as soon as possible.
Can you give us a little more detail about the vulnerability itself?
Yeah, so it's a deserialization flaw.
Okay.
And it was found in a couple of specific .NET classes within Veeam.
Now, I know we have some technical folks listening, but for those who aren't familiar with that term, what exactly is a deserialization flaw?
Sure. So imagine you're building a Lego castle.
Okay. I like this analogy.
And you want to save your creation so you can work on it later.
Right.
Serialization is like carefully taking apart your Lego castle and writing down instructions on how to rebuild it.
Okay. The following.
Deserialization is then following those instructions to put the castle back together.
Gotcha.
Now, a deserialization flaw happens when the application, in this case Veeam, isn't careful about the instructions it's following.
Mm-hmm.
Attackers can sneak in their own malicious instructions.
So it's like sneaking a booby trap into the Lego instructions.
Exactly. And when Veeam tries to rebuild based on this tampered data, it unknowingly executes the attacker's code.
That's sneaky.
It is. And what's interesting is that this isn't the first time Veeam has had to deal with this type of vulnerability.
Really?
Last year, they addressed a similar flaw by creating a blacklist of known exploitable code snippets.
So they tried to block these bad instructions?
Yeah, exactly. But security researchers at Watchtower Labs discovered a new gadget chain that wasn't on the blacklist.
So they found a new way to sneak in those bad instructions.
Exactly. It's like they found a new way to build that booby trap.
Right.
And this allowed them to bypass the protections and achieve remote code execution.
It's a constant arms race, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And one important detail about this particular vulnerability is that it only impacts Veeam installations that are joined to a domain.
Okay, so if your Veeam server isn't connected to a domain, you're not vulnerable.
Right. But the concerning part is that any domain user, not just administrators, could potentially exploit this.
Wow, so an attacker wouldn't need admin access?
Nope. They could potentially exploit this with just a regular user account.
That significantly lowers the bar for attackers.
Yeah, it does. And even though Veeam recommends against it, a lot of organizations do join their Veeam servers to their domains.
For ease of management and things like that.
Exactly. It's more convenient.
Right.
But as we see here, convenience can sometimes come with security trade-offs.
Yeah, for sure.
And we know that ransomware groups are always looking for ways to target backup solutions.
Right, because if they can cripple your backups, then you're really in trouble.
Exactly. You've got no way to recover your data.
And that makes you much more likely to pay the ransom.
Exactly.
So this vulnerability could potentially make it a lot easier for ransomware attackers to do their dirty work.
Yeah. So the message is clear. If you're using an affected version of Veeam and it's connected to a domain, upgrade immediately.
Absolutely. Patch now.
And also, maybe rethink whether you really need to have it joined to your domain. Yeah. It's always good to review those best practices.
Definitely.
So that's our deep dive for today. We've covered a lot of ground.
We have.
From supply chain attacks to cryptocurrency regulation and software vulnerabilities.
It's a lot to take in.
It is. But it just goes to show that the world of cybersecurity is constantly evolving.
Yeah, you always have to be on your toes.
Always.
Yeah.
And staying informed is really the first step in staying safe.
Absolutely. Knowledge is power.
Exactly. So thanks for joining us today on Cyber Mornings Daily.
Yeah, thanks everyone.
Now, as you go about your day, we want you to think about this. As we rely more and more on interconnected software,
right?
How can organizations better assess and manage the risks that come with that?
That's a great question.
It's a big question and one that we all need to be thinking about.
For sure.
All right, until next time, stay safe out there.
Stay vigilant.
And we'll see you back here for another deep dive.